This morning, I want to talk to you about plead the blood, what plead the blood means. And we're going to read a scripture. And the scripture is out of the book of Exodus, chapter 11, and verse 7. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to talk about this. The scripture says, "But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue." In other words, there will be no accusation brought against the children of God. How many of you know there is no condemnation? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No accusation can be brought against the children of God. Amen? That's really, really good news. Amen. We like to tell people the gospel is good news. If you've come for bad news, I don't have any. You're in the wrong place. All I have is good news. All right? So the dog will not move its tongue against man or beast, and you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Or let me put that another way. You can know that the Lord has put a difference between you and the world. You can know that God has put a difference between you and the world. You can know that God has put a difference between you and the world. Whew. You'll get this. You'll get it. Hallelujah. And it's powerful. Plead the blood. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. And thank you for the word of God. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the power of the blood. And Lord, we just come to you today and we ask that you speak to our hearts on the word of God. And you instruct us, Lord, in the power of the blood for our lives and our families. And we just ask you to give blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you are familiar with the expression, plead the blood? Okay. Some of you not. It depends a lot on the tradition you grew up in. If you grew up charismatic or Pentecostal, I guarantee you, you heard the expression, plead the blood. In some other traditions that you may have grown up in, you may have never heard it. But I can remember growing up and hearing people say, I plead the blood. You know, we plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood. And I used to wonder, what does that mean? You know, what does it mean to plead the blood? And I remember looking through the Word of God, trying to find about pleading the blood. And how many of you know there's no expression called plead the blood in the Bible? So I remember going through a time where I thought, you know, I'm not sure about that pleading the blood. I can't find anything in the Bible about it. I can't find where it says, plead the blood, plead the blood. And because that expression is not in your Bible. But you hear people do it all the time, right? So what are they doing? Well, I'm going to submit to you that a lot of them don't know what they're doing. And they're doing it because they heard grandma do it, right? They heard somebody, they heard the preacher say, let's plead the blood. And they were, I plead the blood of Jesus. I don't know what I'm doing, but I plead the blood anyway. And I want you to know, first of all, I want you to know that it is scriptural. Okay? I'm going to give you a foundation for it this morning. Because you may have looked for yourself about that pleading the blood and you couldn't find it. But I want to show it to you in the Word of God. I want to show you the foundation for it. So I want you to understand that it is scriptural to plead the blood of Jesus. But I want to show you it's scriptural, but I want you to understand what you're doing when you do it. Amen? And I want you to do it. I want you to plead the blood of Jesus over your families and over your homes and over your health. I want you to apply the blood of Jesus. Now, when people plead the blood of Jesus, they use different expressions. You may have heard people say something like, we just bring this need under the blood right now. We just put this need under the blood right now. We come under the blood, or we cover this need with the blood of Jesus. All those expressions are the same thing as pleading the blood. It's the same thing. Bringing a need, bringing a situation under the blood of Jesus, bringing something under the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, let me explain to you what pleading the blood is. First thing I want to tell you, it's not begging. It sounds like begging, but it's not begging. I plead. The word plead can sound like I'm begging for something. Pleading the blood is not begging. Pleading the blood, you're going to like this. Pleading the blood is using a legal contract and covenant that God has given you. We're going to take communion in just a moment. Jesus said, this cup, and this cup represents the blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus said, this blood is a new covenant or contract that I am making with you. I am making a covenant with you. When you got married, you made a covenant with somebody. Amen? That's a contract. You pledged. Jesus said, I am making a covenant or a contract with you with my blood. So when you plead the blood of Jesus, you're not begging, but you are, in effect, exercising a legal contract that you have with God. It's the same thing as when somebody says, I plead the fifth. As a United States citizen, you have the right, you have certain rights. If you travel to another country and you get arrested, you don't have those rights. You can be in some other country and say, I plead the fifth, and they'll go, you plead the what? You don't have the same rights like you have here. You have rights in the United States of America as an American citizen. You have legal rights because you are in a contract. The same is true with God. Because you are born again, because you are a citizen of heaven, you have legal rights in the kingdom of God. I want to say that again. You have legal rights as a citizen of heaven in the kingdom of God. And just as a person says, I plead innocent, or I plead guilty, or I plead the fifth, that is a legal term, exercising a contract. When you plead the blood of Jesus, you are exercising your contract as a citizen of heaven in the kingdom of God. So that's what pleading the blood is. Now let me show it to you in the Word of God. And let me show you what it does. Because like I said, you won't find that expression, plead the blood. But it is there. And I want to show it to you. We just read a verse that says, God put a difference between His people and the world. Right? God put a difference between His people and the world. Well, how did He do that? Well, if we go to the old Passover, we go back and we read about the Passover, we can find out what the difference is. We can find out what it is. So I want us to look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. And I want you to see this because this is the grounds of your contract. Exodus 12, 13 says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, that's what He's looking for, right? Notice He didn't say when I see that you're beautiful, when I see that you behave well, when I see that you've got your house in order, when I see that you're perfect, when I see that you're clean, when I see that you're going to church every week, when I see that you got this right and you got that right. No, He said, when I see the blood. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. That's what He's looking for. He's not looking for you. And notice He didn't say when you see the blood. It's not about you seeing it. It's not about you even understanding it. It's just about you getting under it and being obedient. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Or in other words, when judgment comes, and it surely will, if you're under the blood, if you're in contract with me in the kingdom of God, if you've put yourself under the blood, you will not be exposed to the judgment. Amen? Now, so what's he telling us here? He said, I will put a difference between my people and the world. What was the difference? The blood. The blood is the difference. Folks, the only difference between us and the rest of this world is the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's the only difference. It's just the blood. It's the blood that makes the difference. So there is a difference, but it's the blood of Jesus that's been applied because we've put ourselves under the blood. Now, how does that help me today? This is old, back in, you know, this is Egypt and Moses, and this is Old Testament. This is way back. How does that help me right now? Well, when Jesus was baptized, when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, I want you to listen real carefully to what John the Baptist said. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Behold, I want you to look. He said, look, there's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. What does that mean? They took a lamb. Moses came to the people and he said, look, I want you to take a lamb that's spotless, without blemish. You kill that lamb and you take the blood and you put the blood on both sides, on the top of your door and both sides of the door, marking your house that you are under the blood. That was a type, a shadow, a symbol of what was to come. That lamb that was slain to put that blood on the door was a shadow or type or symbol of the Lamb of God that would come so you could put his blood on your door and you could cover yourself with the blood of Jesus and you can get, could get in that contract with God. And just as the blood of the lamb in Egypt made provision and provided a covering for judgment, so too does the blood of Jesus that we are under today provide a covering for judgment. So this is the blood of Jesus we're talking about. Say the blood of Jesus. Now don't think of the blood of Jesus as some old gory residue on a cross. You need to think of the blood of Jesus as an active, living agent in the world. The blood of Jesus is eternal. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus continually, book of Hebrews says, the blood of Jesus continually washes and purges. The blood of Jesus is still working. In fact, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus will be the theme of our praise forever. Paul said, I will glory in the cross. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. The message of the blood is the central theme of everything we can do. Folks, we could never, ever get away from the cross. I'm a little alarmed that this, what we call postmodern Christianity, we're living in a time when people want to move away a little bit from the cross. They want to move a little bit away from the blood. They want to move a little bit away from words like sin and redemption. Folks, we could never move away from the blood of the cross. That's the power. That's the contract that we're under. Without the blood, we don't have anything. So the blood of Jesus is what we're talking about. Now let's look at what that blood did. The first thing it did, it protected them. There was a judgment coming. The death angel was going to pass through the land of Egypt. And the firstborn of every household would die. Judgment was coming that night. And Moses told the children of Israel, basically, judgment is coming, guys. You need to get under the blood. You need to put the blood on your door. You need to get into this contract with God because judgment is coming. And I would tell you that same thing today. I would tell you that judgment is coming. I will tell you there is a day coming. It's going to be hard. There's a time coming when there's going to be a separation. And I'm telling you, church, you need to be under the blood of Jesus. You need to be sure that that blood is on the door. That when God looks at your life, he sees the blood. If he don't see nothing else, that he sees the blood of Jesus. Amen? It's not about how good you are. It's not about how perfect you are. It's not about what you do. It is all about the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's what salvation is. It's just putting the blood. If Moses had walked by somebody's house and he didn't see that blood there, and he would say, "Well, you haven't done what I asked." Well, I don't really see the need. Seems kind of silly to me. I don't really see the need. It don't matter what it seems to you. It don't matter what you think about it. God asked us to do it. And you'd be crazy not to. So he's asked that we put ourselves under the blood of Jesus for under that protection. Why? Because the blood of Jesus provides a bloodline that the enemy cannot cross. I want to say that again. The blood of Jesus provides a bloodline or a hedge of protection for you and your household and your family that the enemy cannot cross. Let me tell you a story from the Bible. The children of Israel had rebelled against Moses. Moses wasn't perfect. Moses was not a perfect leader. He made some mistakes, but he was human, right? And he made some mistakes, and the people rebelled against him. Korah got up all the people that rebelled against him, and they turned the hearts of the children of Israel against Moses. And God looked down and saw that rebellion, and he was filled with fury, and he's filled with anger. And he basically told Moses, "I'm going to destroy all these people that have rebelled. I'm just going to wipe them out." In fact, he told Moses, "We'll start over. Instead of using Abraham's seed, I'll use your seed." Amen? And we'll just do this another way. God was so angry at the rebellion that was taking place. But he knew the heart of Moses. And the heart of Moses was a good pastor. He wasn't perfect, but he was a good pastor. He loved his people. And he began to intercede for the people, that God would spare them. And here's what he told Aaron to do. And Moses had some understanding. The Bible says that a plague came and the people started dying. And the plague was sweeping through the camp of Israel. And you could hear the crying and the screaming coming out of the tents as people were falling dead. And that plague was moving from tent to tent, from house to house, from dwelling to dwelling. And it was going through the camp. And Moses told Aaron, he said, "Aaron, go and get the censer out of the tabernacle. The golden censer, and put the hot coals on the censer and put the blood on it." And he said, go and stand before the plague and hold that censer. How'd you like to have that job? And Aaron went and held the censer, and he stood before that plague that was coming toward them. And he held that out there. And the Bible says that as the plague approached them, when it got to where they were, it stopped. Amen? It stopped. Why? Because it could not cross that bloodline. It could not cross that bloodline. Amen? And God wants you to learn to do the same thing. This is what pleading the blood is. It's bringing up a contract that you have with God and reminding God, "I'm under the blood. And I put this need under the blood. And I put my family under the blood." Amen? And the enemy with his judgment cannot cross that bloodline. The Bible says as the plague approached Aaron, it says the plague was stayed, or it stopped. I love what Rahab did when she asked. Rahab believed more in God than the children of Israel did. And Rahab, the Bible says that Rahab hung a crimson cord out the window of her house. And the children of Israel were approaching and going to attack.
And she hung that crimson cord out that window. And when the children of Israel came and they marched around the walls of Jericho and they shouted out, Yahweh, and they blew the trumpets, and the Bible says that the walls of Jericho fell and crumbled. But you know what's really cool? When the smoke cleared and the dust cleared, the Bible says that Rahab's house was on the wall. Her house was attached to the wall. And the whole wall fell. But when the smoke and the dust cleared, there was one house still standing. And it was the house with the crimson cord hanging out the window. Come on, church. Why? Because there was a bloodline. You know what Rahab did? She pleaded the blood. And she didn't even know. She didn't understand. But she was doing something that had an underlying principle in the Word of God. And she was protected. The next thing the blood does is deliverance. Not only will God protect you and cover you from coming judgment and from the judgment that is coming to this world, but God will also deliver you. And by deliver, I mean bring you out. Church, you do not have to stay where you are. The enemy will lie to you and tell you you're no good, you're a failure, you're never going to amount to anything. But folks, God's in the business of wiping away yesterdays. And He gives you new tomorrows. He casts your sins into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered against you no more. Your sins are put behind His back. We're always going to God saying, God, I'm so sorry for the stuff I did 5 years ago. I'm so sorry for the stuff that I did 10 years. I'm so sorry for my past. I hate that I did what I did. And God's sitting up there saying, what are you talking about? I don't remember what you did 10 years ago. I don't remember what you, I washed it away. Amen. I don't have a chalkboard up here with all your sins listed on it. It's been erased. I took the eraser and wiped it off. It's done. That's the power of His forgiveness, that He washes away everything. He brings you out. He wants you to come out of where you were. Look at this beautiful verse in Exodus chapter 12. I want to show you something. This is what He was telling the children of Israel, the blood is going to do for you. Remember, they've been slaves for 400 years. And listen to this beautiful promise. He says, I'm about to tell you what the blood... He just told them it would protect them from the coming judgment, right? Here's the next thing He tells them. This is what the blood will do for you. He says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I love that line, to you. That struck out to me. In other words, God says, this is a new beginning. Do you know that Israel has a different new year than everybody else? Look at what God said. This shall be the first of the month of the year for you. This is your beginning. This is for you. This is a new start. You start over today. You are a new nation. You are a new people. You have a new beginning. You start all over. Forget about the slavery years. Forget about the failure. Forget about everything that happened. This is for you. Church, here's the word God has for you today. This is a new beginning for you. It doesn't matter about anybody else. For you, you have a new beginning. God has given you a new start. God has given you a fresh beginning. Everything's starting all over. You don't have, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to wallow in your yesterdays anymore. You don't have to worry about the mistakes. It's done. Say, I'm forgiven. And the last thing, it is a witness. The blood is my protection. The blood is my deliverance. And the blood is a witness. The Bible says that when Abel was killed by Cain, that his blood cried out to God. The blood cried out to God. The blood speaks. And if the blood of Abel spoke, if the blood of Abel cried out, how much more do you think the blood of Jesus speaks? The blood of Jesus cries out. The blood of Jesus is a witness. Look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. This is our last verse today. I really like this verse. This is good news about the blood. Exodus 12, 38 says, "A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds and a great deal of livestock." You know what that means? A mixed multitude went with them. Everybody that came out of Egypt wasn't Israeli. Everybody that came out of Egypt wasn't the seed of Abraham. Everybody that came out of Egypt that day was some other nationalities and some other, you know what that means? Oh, this is good. That means there were some Egyptians that put the blood on the door. Oh, glory to God. That means there were some other races and nationalities that put the blood on the door. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. You know, they saw the plagues. They saw the power of God. They were watching. Folks, people watch your life. The blood is a witness. People watch your life. I guarantee you, as Moses was doing his exploits by the hand of God, that people were, I don't know it, boy, at Moses, and people were watching. And then you know what those Israelis are doing? They're all putting blood on the door of their houses. They're doing what? They're all putting blood on the door of their houses. You know, I got a feeling that their God is really God. I got a feeling that their God is the great God of the Most High. And he seems to do great and mighty things. And they're putting blood on the door of their house. And you know what I think? I think maybe I need to put blood on the door of my house too. Amen? Because the blood is a witness. And that means the blood is for everybody. That means the blood is for everybody. Hallelujah. And folks, let me tell you something though. There's some risk in putting the blood on the door. Don't you think there were probably a few people in their neighborhood that got mocked a little bit when they started putting blood on the door of their house? Amen? There they go again. There's them Christians. And that blood thing, there they go. Don't you think there were some people mocking and laughing? When you stand under the blood, when you plead the blood, and you make that stand, this is who I am and this is what I stand for, there will be some mocking. And there will be some laughing. But I promise you this, there are some others watching quietly too. But one thing I want you to understand, the next day, nobody was mocking. The next day, nobody was making fun of them when the judgment came. Because they had the blood on the door, they were protected. Folks, as sure as we're here this morning, you hear me, there is a judgment that is coming. It's coming. And those that have the blood on the door, those that have applied the blood, well, that's the difference. It won't be because I preached a sermon or because I did this or because it won't be any of that. It will all be because of the blood. Amen? This is what it means to plead the blood. You're guilty. I'm guilty. My only defense is the blood of Jesus. When I stand before the court of heaven, the only defense I have is I plead the blood. I don't have anything else. I plead the blood. I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood. If you're a sinner, plead the blood. If you're sick, plead the blood. If you're a failure, plead the blood. If you have a shameful past, plead the blood. If your kids are lost, plead the blood. It's your contract with God. And there's still power in the blood. There's power in the blood to wash away sins. There's power in the blood to make you an overcomer. There's power in the blood to forgive all your past and wash it away. There's power in the blood to make you righteous and clean before God. There's power in the blood to pay all your debts. There's power in the blood to redeem you from slavery. There's power in the blood to take you from the power of hell. There's power in the blood to heal all your sickness. There's power in the blood to bring you right into God's presence.
And there's power in the blood to free you from all condemnation and guilt. Plead the blood. I plead the blood. That's my contract. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just all bow our heads for just a moment. If there's anybody here would say, Glenn, I need to put the blood on the door right now. I need to make sure I'm under the blood, that I have that contract with God. How do you do that? You just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Period. It ain't about joining a church. It's just about believing on Jesus. Believing what? Believing that He died for your sins and 3 days later He rose again. All you have to do is believe. That's all. That's how you put yourself under the blood. And if you want to be sure Jesus is your Savior, just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Just raise your hand. If there's anybody here, thank you. Anybody else? I just want to be sure that I'm under the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. Anybody else? I just want to make sure this is settled. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to join hands together. And we're going to pray this prayer. Hallelujah. Those of you that raised your hands, I'd like you to talk to me after the service, if you would. And all of you pray this prayer out loud. Dear Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I need your salvation. I want to be under the blood. I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I believe you're coming back. And I don't want to be under the judgment of this world. So I put myself under the blood. I put the blood on the door of my heart. And I accept you as my Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.